This next one is called Andromeda's Revenge. One Thursday night, Carol began our workshop by reading from an inspiring piece of mind-bending beauty on our stellar neighborhood. A lush description of our solar system's residence in the Orion spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy was sprinkled with the names of exotic stars that make up the familiar constellation, which gives the spiral arm its name. She suggested this as a possible point of departure for our writing. As an amateur astronomer, I indulged in a bit of puffery, telling Carol, "This is my bailiwick. I might as well be on the Larry King show," I teased. Having raised the stakes for myself, I determined to write a mind-numbing essay on our galactic neighborhood, specifically our bigger sister, the great spiral galaxy Andromeda. Writing without a reference book, I hazarded a guess as to the distance as being 250,000 light years, dwarfing the tens to hundreds of light years typical for our stellar neighborhood. It was not a well thought out guess, and a casual question from Robin as I left caused me to check my facts when I got home. I was shocked to see the comma between the 2 and 5, followed by a string of zeros. 2.5 billion light years? A guess four orders of magnitude too small was astonishingly poor. I would have to confess my bravado at the next workshop. In the meantime, the following Tuesday evening, I hiked the 6 blocks up South Street to Susan's house, where Karen Randall, who lives next door, and I get together for an enjoyable evening of writing where I attempt to wrangle words in Karen's more experimental vein. It is a very pleasant setting just off South Street, with lovely flower gardens joining both lots in a small piece of Eden, enhanced even more in my mind by its accessibility to my limping gait. I confess my error to them, although Karen writes in Robin's workshop, and after we ended our night, I proposed attempting to show them the very faint and difficult to see Andromeda Galaxy. Obscuring trees and sky glow from downtown proved too difficult, so I headed back home, an easier stroll due to the slight downward grade. The air was very fresh, and I thought I might have a chance of spotting Andromeda from my back deck. As I walked up the ramp, light spilling from my house was blinding my night vision, so I turned my back, keeping my left hand on the handrail, and looked up to orient myself. Andromeda is usually near the zenith, but I couldn't locate a familiar constellation, so I slowly stepped backwards, continuing to look upward. As I neared the steps to my garage, abruptly, wantonly, and without warning, the entire Earth flipped from under my feet, flying above my head, and with the force only a planet can marshal, slammed down upon my head with the narrow strip of concrete that leads to my garage. Satisfied with this vengeful act, the Earth returned to its standard orbit, leaving me dazed and lying at the bottom of 3 wooden steps. I remained motionless for a bit, as I usually do after falls of my own fault, assessing my situation and waiting for damage reports. It was dark, but I felt no grave injuries or pain beyond my typical background noise. My left foot was stuck between the grillwork of the steps railing, and I was awkwardly planted on my bad right side. I would have to strategize how best to regain my feet. I freed my strong left foot easily enough since I used elastic shoelaces and slipped my shoe off. Then I managed to roll over to my stronger left side, eventually gaining my knees. I noticed my baseball cap had come off and replaced it as I sat on the bottom wooden step. Pulling my shoe from the railing, I was amazed that once again, after a fall, I was unbroken. After a few long breaths, I gingerly stood up, got my keys out, and unlocked the back door. Light flooded down, and I saw my right forearm covered with blood. Shit! My arm seemed fine. I took off my baseball cap, and it was drenched with blood. Fuck! My white baseball cap. Then I could feel the warmth dripping down the right side of my face. I went straight to the bathroom mirror and beheld the bloodiest me I had ever seen. Double fuck. I went to the phone and called Susan. Susan, I had a fall and cut my head. I think I need an objective assessment of my situation. It seemed like mere seconds when Susan and Karen came to the front door. One look and they fairly chorused, "Emergency room?" "No, guys, I know it probably looks pretty bad, but head wounds are notorious bleeders." "Emergency room?" "I don't want to go to the emergency room. It'll be like 3 hours. If you can just clean me up a bit, we can see. It's where I can't reach it." "Emergency room, Don. Just a little pressure and a Band-Aid. Head wounds are notorious bleeders." Susan and Karen exchanged a determined glance and came over to grab me. "No, they'll probably want to do stitches." "Shut up, we're going." There was no more arguing. Karen gathered my keys and wallets as I complained I'd need my meds. Just before we drove off, I remembered my seat cushion, which Karen quickly retrieved, and we headed off to Cooley Dickinson while I fretted about getting blood on Susan's car. They stayed with me from bloody monstrosity through yelping stitchy to gauze-wrapped egg-headed mummy. How do you thank friends like that? Bless them both. I suppose that Earth was an agent of justice for my gross underestimation of the universe. Even though further checking has shown the distance to be 2.5 million light years away, only one order of magnitude off. It seems I can't count my zeros. So either the universe is very touchy or is intolerant of excessive hubris in the face of its grandeur.